This is the Outreach.fm podcast. Nowadays, sometimes you can look at the world and think, we've gone crazy. Things seem out of control. But remember, God is always in control. Are you looking for something fresh, new, and exciting? This is the Outreach.fm podcast. Taking the positive message of Jesus Christ to the world, proclaiming he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Broadcasting from the Upper Room Studios to the world. Are you ready? Let's get into it. This is Outreach.fm. And now, here's Pastor William Luffman.
Gather in, assemble yourself together. I'm going to tell you what's going to come to pass in the days ahead. If you keep on keeping on. Can you shout amen? Now, I looked up the word keep in the Bible, and it's pretty interesting. The word keep is found over 500 times in the Bible. So God's really about keeping things. He told Adam in the garden to keep it, you know, to tend it and to keep it. He said, you know, and see, if Adam would have been diligent at what God told him to do, they wouldn't have fallen. But he got his, you know, he drifted there. But the word keeps over 500 times in the Bible. You need to keep yourself in God's house. You know, it's wonderful to see this many people in here today. Did you know we had almost this many at the 8:30 service? We had a big crowd at 8:30 this morning. But you know what? But you need to keep yourself in the house of God. Now, I know we're baptizing some people, and some of you may have come for that. But you need to get in the house of God anyway. Every time you come in here, you're getting baptized with the Word. You're getting baptized with the Spirit. Amen. There's some things in the Bible that tells us that we need to do. Number one, we need to keep ourselves in the house of God. A lot of things happen in here that you're not going to get at home and you're not going to get. I listen to preaching when I'm traveling. I put it on. I get some good stuff. I watch some of it at home. I get some good. But the most that I ever get out of God is when I come to his house. Can you say amen? You need to keep yourself in prayer. Man, you need to pray all the time. Just pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says be instant. You know, I can be in Walmart. I was somewhere the other day and I could not find what I was looking for. And I was like, man, this is the aisles weren't even labeled correctly. I was looking, I thought, this is what it says it's on this aisle, and that's what I'm looking for, but it's not here. And I, you know, I'm a person that's still developing in patience. Unlike all of you that are perfected, I'm not there yet. And I was looking at, I was like, man, this is ridiculous. I don't have all day to be in this. So I got, and I just stopped and I said, Holy Spirit, please help me. Show me where this is. I took about 5 steps, went this way, and I turned up and out, took one more, and it was right there in front of me. It was on a display. I mean, prayer works everywhere. It's not just for emergencies. It's not just for, you know, the heart. But prayer, God expects us to always be ready to pray. You need to keep yourself in the Word of God all the time. You need to be in this Bible, be in this Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This Word makes you smarter. This Word makes you better. This Word will take you places. I don't care how smart you think you are and crafty and, man, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know. But the Word of God knows things that you don't know. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. You need to keep yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You need to be in a church where the Holy Spirit is at. Yeah, it gets a little loud. People get a little bit crazy sometimes. They run around and they shout and they dance. But you know what? If you look around, there's a lot of joy in that. I mean, church should be the most joyful time in the hall. This ought to be the house of joy always. You know, if people go to ball games and shout over an inflated piece of leather, my goodness, how much more should we be shouting in the house of God? Can you shout amen? And you need to keep yourself in the company of other believers. Can you shout amen? Something about being with God's people that brings strength. How about this one? You need to keep yourself out of places where God is not welcomed. If God's not welcome in there, guess what? I'll stay out here. Amen. I have not gone to functions that I've been invited to because I knew where I was going, they didn't want God there. And it's like, well, if you don't want God there, you don't want me there. Now, I got a little quiet there, so everybody was chugging along with me, but a couple people got off the bus there a minute ago. I felt it. So we're going to back the bus up and let you have another chance to get back on. Amen. You need to keep yourself out of the company of people who sin without reservation. I mean, they flaunt their sin. They talk their sin. I mean, there used to be a time where people hid their sin. I'm old enough now, I'm 64 years old. Actually, I'm 64 years young. That means I've got at least at a minimum 56 more years, according to Genesis chapter 6. Man's day should be 120, not 80. Don't go to Psalms for that. Go back to the original in the book of Genesis. Amen. Somebody said, what if you only lived to 95? Well, I'd rather shoot for 120 and live to 95 than shoot for 50 and make it. Come on. Amen. Amen. But you need to keep yourself out of the company of people who sin without reservation. Now, see, it got a little quiet right there. Some more people got off the bus. Because I just talked about where you were at last night that you know you weren't supposed to be. Now, remember, in this church, we actually preach. We actually use the word sin. We actually use the word repent. We actually use the word, in the South, it's two syllables, hail. Now, if you're from the North, it's only one syllable, hail. In the South, we say hail. But we actually preach some of that here because it's in the Bible. Now, we'll talk to you about faith and winning, and today we're talking about not quitting, and God will bless you, and God will help you overcome, and God will help you get to your best life. Yeah, we'll preach all that, but we're going to preach the whole Bible. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher of the gospel. My job's to make sure that you're ready for heaven. When your last breath is drawn, you have grown in the Lord and you have such a fellowship and relationship with God that when you step out of this life, you step right into heaven. That's my job. Amen. And I take it very seriously. Can you shout amen? So I'm going to give you, write these things down. I'm going to give you, those are not the things, but I'm going to give you 7 reasons to keep on keeping on. And I wrote this down because a lot of us have, everybody is born with a dream. And I don't know if some people are more pursuant of it. They find out what it is early. They build their education around it. They build their experience of life around it so that they can step into it as quickly and as soon as possible. But most people are not that way. A lot of people kind of have to stumble along in life hoping they'll catch up with their dream, and most of the time it eludes them. But God wants you to walk in your dream. How many of you know that's true? Now, that's if it's not sin. I mean, if your dream's to have a harem, then God's not part of that dream. Right? If your dream's to get high every other day, that's not part of God's dream because he's called the Most High God. So I said, do you get high? I get high every day. The Most High God. I don't need a stimulant. I don't need something else. I don't need all that. I don't need no. Don't need it. Now don't shout me down. Now a couple more people got off the bus. If I don't watch it, I'm not going to have anybody but the driver on there before we get done here. Amen. Listen to this. I want you to write it down. Your dreams may be delayed, but your destiny is certain. Your dreams may be delayed, but your destiny is certain if... Uh-oh, wait a minute. I didn't think you were going to add an if. I am. If you keep on keeping on. Your dreams may be delayed, but your destiny is certain. God has a destiny for you. And as long as you keep on keeping on, you will get there. Amen. Moses was 80 when he got there, but he got there. You got quiet in here. Anybody say amen? Remember, if you amen, I preach faster. And I told Pastor Ginger, I said about a quarter till 12, I need to be wrapping up so we can get everybody ready and get them to go out there. But you know, if you don't amen me, I may go like 1 minute to 12. Everybody say, praise God, Pastor. Say, preach it, Pastor. Come on. Say, give me some of that. Come on, say, give me some of that, Pastor. All right. We're talking about the word here, just so we're clean in the house of God. All right. You got to clarify everything in the days we live in. No matter how the surroundings are in your life, I said this on Thursday night, but most of you were not here to hear it. No matter what the surroundings are in your life, all you have to do is outlast them. All you got to do is outlast the people that hate you, outlast the circumstances, outlast the sickness, outlast the disappointment, outlast a divorce. And all you got to do is just outlast it. What does that mean? You just got to get up. Amen. Listen, you're tougher than you think you are. Yeah. How do I know that? You're in church today. Yeah. My God, how many of you have been through some stuff? Yeah. Man, beat up, beat down, run over, run out. Yeah. Sick, hurt, stolen from. Yeah. betrayed. And look at you today. You're in church. You're in the house of God. You are tougher than you think you are. God has put in some stuff inside of you. You're outlasting. You've already outlasted some people. You know, they came along and you thought, oh, I tell you what, if I ever leave their life, they're done. Well, hello. Everyone say, I'm here. I found out some things about God a long time ago. And the only thing God really requires of us to win is to get up. And the Bible says, I may fall, but I shall arise. It's get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Out. Yeah, I tell you, the way it all starts, get up out of the bed. Get up out of that bed. There's something about getting up. There's something about getting out of that bed in the morning that God honors. Something about you getting up and saying, I'm not laying around here. I am not a moocher. I have got a God that will make me totally independent, that will bless me so much that I can actually bless other people. I don't want anybody. No, God and me, we got this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 20:13 says, don't be too fond of sleep. You'll end up in the poorhouse. And then it goes on to say, wake up and get up. Then there'll be food on the table. Somebody said, I heard that. Listen to what Proverbs 21:25 says from the Message. Lazy people finally die of hunger because they won't get up and go to work. Anybody home in this Presbyterian church today? And all the Presbyterians said, amen. So we have to, Psalms 27:14, stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. 2 Corinthians 4:9, we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. I'm knocked down, but not knocked out. So let me give you these things to write down about why you keep on keeping on. And one of them happened in this service earlier. When we had this, the worship was great, wasn't it? I didn't want to come up with that because I when the anointing's here, I just rather just, but you know, I say, okay, they want me to come, I'll come. But the anointing was here this morning. And one of the reasons that you keep on keeping on is because as a Christian, you have tasted something that's better than the world. Now, the world has all these flavors out there, and they have their little samples and try this and do that. And they give you these little quick little bursts of so-called euphoria. But they surely don't last. And they have after effects. And sometimes there's stuff that happens while you're having that euphoria that costs you. And sometimes it costs you a minute, a day, a week, a month. Sometimes it could cost you your life. Are you listening to me? But when you serve God, you've tasted something better. If you really, really get a taste of God, even if you backslide and go back into the world, it'll never taste the same. Sin won't taste the same anymore. You'll be like, man, I used to like doing this, but I don't feel right here. I feel out of place here. It's because you are out of place. Can you shout amen? Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Go to Exodus chapter 3. It's about 4 pages from where you were in Genesis 49. I have to read these verses. I love these verses. This is number 2, the reason that you keep on keeping on, is God knows your sorrows like nobody else. Now, when Pastor Ginger and I were dating, we could tell this was going to be serious. You know, God spoke to me in a church service somewhere and told me to marry her. But it was still going to be months before that happened. But as we knew that our life was going to be together, we started to become more intimate in our knowledge, meaning we started talking about what we'd gone through. She opened up and shared with me about all the stuff she went through in her first relationship and how awful and dark and terrible and all that was. And of course, I had known that she'd had a little boy that died at 18 months old. I knew all this stuff, her father getting murdered when she was 14. So I knew a lot about it. But I want you to know, there's something about sorrow that's deep. And you can tell someone about what you've gone through, but they can't feel it. They might have some sympathy, they may have some empathy. But they can't feel it because it was your experience. Are you hearing me? Now, this is what I love about God. God, The reason you keep on keeping on, he's the only one that knows about your sorrow. Look here in Exodus 3. I love these verses. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely, everyone say surely, seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Wow, that's a deep verse. God said, I've surely seen your affliction, and I have heard your cry. This stuff that's been done against you, I want you to know that it didn't go unnoticed. I want you to know. And then the last part, he said, and I know your sorrow. He said, I know the depth of this thing. But thank God there's the next verse, just the first few words is all we need to read. And I am come down to deliver them out. Aren't you glad? Woo! God said, she said, I'm her Prince Charming and I'm her knight in shining armor. And she used to say that all the time. And she'd say, you're my knight in shining armor. And I'd say, no, I didn't say that much. Only a couple of you even knew what I just did. But anyway, here's what I realized. Did I help her? Yes. Was I a comfort? Yes. Because she shared that with me, and it made me really, treat her differently, even better. But only God knew how to deal with that sorrow. Some of you had some awful things happen to you, awful things. I, as a pastor, I have sat in my office and I've counseled with people for 40 plus years. And I'm telling you, I've heard some stuff that I had to sit there and I had to fight back tears while people were telling me some of the things they've had to go through in their lives. It's such a horrible thing. And I thought, and I always thought, man, God, I wish I could help them. And of course, I prayed for them and I gave them scripture and hugged them and all of that. But I knew this much, it was going to take God to get that sorrow. So why would I quit now? I want to keep on keeping on with God. He's the only one that knows about my sorrow. He's the only one. Can you shout amen? Amen. I like number 3. God has a better plan for me than I could ever have for myself. Aren't you glad? You know, we know Jeremiah 29:11. I have plans for you. In the NIV it says, for a hope and a future. Now he said this to a people that were in bondage. He said this to a people that were really under duress. He said it to a people that were completely in dark. It looked like, they've been taken captive. They've been put into some slavery. They've been going through all this stuff. God said, but I want you to know that your end is not in doubt. You're going through something right now, but I want you to know your end is fixed. There's a part coming that's going to be so much better than this that I have a hope and I have a future for you. Everybody in here today, some of you may be in that time where you feel like things are so dark, but I have good news for you. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I have a hope and a future for you. And I like what he says, an expected end, not some tragic end. Amen. See, if you follow sin, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you're able to pay. You can't pay sin. You may think you're shifty and I'm crafty and I'm smart and I'm intelligent and I got swag and I know the right people and I can do this and all of them got messed up, but it won't be me because you're only one of about 600 billion that ever lived on this planet that said the same thing. The Bible says sin, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. But God said, I'll give you an expected end. I got to hurry. See, if you amen me real fast, I get on here. We got to go. All right, number 4. Why I keep on keeping on? God has given me an opportunity to start over every day and you without bringing up our past. That's a big one right there. You know, it says in Psalms 103, I don't know when it is, like down at verses 12, that God casts your sin as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Aren't you glad that when you wake up in the morning, you say, God, I'm here. I love you. Father, could you help me? He goes, well, no, wait a minute. Not you, because you were this. And then he starts naming all your sin. Aren't you glad that when you wake up in the morning, God goes, okay, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go. What do you need? Come on. I'm going to send my spirit. I'm going to send my angels. You walk in my ways and you do what I tell you today and you're going to have a good day. Aren't you glad that God doesn't bring up your past? Amen. Like I said last week, when the devil starts all that business and running you down because you failed, you sinned a little. Even after you became a Christian, you had a bad thought, you said a bad word. Like I said last week, just always remember this. The devil was actually in it. We're serving a God we've never seen. He was actually in heaven with God where he saw him every day and he still couldn't live for him. Amen? So you start telling the devil his stuff and he'll get away with you. Number five, God has promised to heal you. This means not just of your body, but it means, like we said earlier, a broken heart. God's the only one. You know, the Bee Gees asked the question back in 1972 on Atco Records. They said, how can you heal a broken heart? How can you mend a broken heart? Well, God can. God knows how to do this. God is a master. But he'll heal your heart. He'll heal your body. He'll heal your life. He'll heal your mind, your emotions. You don't have to have anxiety attacks the rest of your life. You can be free. You don't have to yearn for alcohol or yearn for drugs the rest of your life. You can be free. That's why I keep on. How do I know that? He's already healed me of stuff. How many of you have had God heal you of something in your life? I mean, come on. Number six, we're almost there. God has promised to never walk out on you. Now, you've had a lot of people tell you that. Oh, man, I'm with you. You won't have to worry about me, man. I'll be with you always. I tell you what, I got your back. I got your front. I got your side. I got your up. I got your down. I'm your BFF. I tell you what, I'm there to the end. And I think, man, I didn't know the end happened last week. Right? But God is not a man that he should lie. And in Hebrews 13:5-8, he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That I might boldly say that the Lord is my helper. That I might boldly say the Lord is my helper. And finally, number seven, this is one of my favorite ones right here. And we won't go there because I don't really have time. But his words for your life are greater than the opposition of your life. Jesus actually said this in John 6:63. He said, the flesh profits nothing. But it's the spirit that prophets. And here's what he said to them. He said, my words are spirit and their life. Every time you get close to God, he goes, and he breathes some more life into you. His words are spirit and life. And no matter what people have said against you, said about you, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes as a pastor, I feel like I'm a voodoo doll. I said this morning that somebody's made a bunch of voodoo dolls of me because I'll be walking along and go, oh, somebody must have, whoa. Because I got some haters out there, you know. But Jesus had haters. If you don't have a hater, you're not living this life right. If you haven't gotten a hater or two, you're not living this to the extent you should be living it. Amen. But Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We got to keep on keeping on, don't we? Just keep on going. Don't quit. Don't turn around. Don't go back. There's nothing in Egypt but death, remember? Remember what Egypt was? It was death. Amen? Now, it's up to you. Everybody say, it's up to me. God will bless you. God will take care of you, but you've got to do your part. And the truth is, most of what we receive is due to what we do. The Bible says, the curse causeless shall not come in Proverbs 26:2. I'm not judging any deceit. Hear this very carefully. This is very important that you hear this correctly. I'm not judging any particular person or incident. I'm not. But if something happens to someone that seems abrupt and seems like, man, that shouldn't have happened, it probably shouldn't have happened. But see, the curse causeless shall not come. Even on Christians, we don't do things that we should do. We don't obey God. We don't follow God. We don't sell out to God. Like I heard, you know, somebody say up here earlier, selling all out to God. We don't. We want to serve God on our terms. We want to build the Tower of Babel and get to heaven our way, not God's way. See, that's what was wrong with the Tower of Babel. They said, we're going to build a tower all the way into the heavens. And God said, you're not going to get there your way. Oh, no, you have to get there my way. So I'm going to scatter you. Now you won't even be able to talk to each other. You have to learn how to talk to me. That's why God did that. It didn't seem like it was fair. It was fair. But you got to do it. You got to do it God's way. Can you say amen? All right. I told you this little story about a couple years ago. Some of you will remember it, but some of you can't even remember what I preached on Thursday night. Of course, you weren't here to hear it. But anyway, so I'm going to tell you this story again. I love this story. I tell it everywhere I go. It's one of my favorite little stories. It's a story of two little boys, and they go for lunch, and they both have packed lunches. And they sit down, and one little boy opens up his little lunchbox, and he's getting his stuff out, and he goes, oh, wow. And he's looking at, you know, he's got him a nice this and that, and he goes, wow. And he's just so happy with what's packed in his lunch. And the other little boy opens it up, and he goes, oh, man. He goes, what's wrong? He goes, man, bologna sandwich. That's three times this week. And that little boy goes, well, why didn't you tell your mom to pack something different? He said, my mom didn't pack my lunch. I did. And see, if you don't like what's going on, you're packing your own lunch. You're packing your own lunch. Everybody say, I'm packing my own lunch. If you don't like what's in that box, you need to put something else in there. Can you shout amen?
You've been listening to the Outreach.fm podcast with your host, Pastor William Luffman. We hope you've gotten some inspiration from this show. We enjoyed bringing it to you. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, reach out online. Find our website at faithoutreach.org. The streaming platform is livestreamchurch.com. Get an inspirational shot at adoseofhope.com. You've been listening to Outreach.fm. And remember, no matter what the weather may seem like in your life, the sun's going to shine again.